Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
His mercy endures forever.
Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So on page 352, let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may abide in your will and walk in your ways. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Today's appointed psalm is Psalm 32, to be read responsibly by half-verse. Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven,
and whose sins put away.
Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt,
and whose spirit is not bad.
While I held my tongue, my bones withered away,
because of my groaning all day long.
For your hand was heavy upon me day and night.
My moisture was dried up as in the heat of summer.
Then I acknowledged my sin to you,
and did not conceal my guilt.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, all the faithful will make their prayers to you in time of trouble.
When the weary waters overflow, they shall not reach them.
You are my hiding place. You preserved me from trouble.
You surround me with the shadows of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go.
I will guide you with my eyes.
Do not be like horse or mule, which have no understanding.
But must be fitted with it pride, or else they will not stay near you.
Great are the tribulations of the wicked.
But mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord.
Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord.
Shout for joy, all who are true in heart.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, it is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. From now on, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, but he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him?" Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Of your faithful, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit you instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question for you on this fourth Sunday of Lent. It is the middle of Lent. It's like hump day. here's the question. What's your story? What I mean by that is, would you be able to explain to someone, say, riding in an elevator with just a few minutes until you part, the story of your faith? How would you describe your relationship with the living God? Well, we toyed with this exercise in our Lenten study on Thursday night. And one member of the group emailed me her story because she was unable to attend the night that we shared them. I asked her if I could share her response, and she said yes. She met with the class, but I moved it so it would be to a larger audience. So here it is. When asked, "What is your faith story?" she replied, "I choose to follow Jesus because I want a relationship with God, who has shown me how much good he can do with me. He's made something like a beautiful mosaic out of my life in spite of my most selfish core. I want to know what God will do through me when I'm actually cooperating by seeking his will, and Jesus is my guide." Beautiful, huh? The exercise is intended for us to connect with what we truly believe. So I ask again, what's your story? The idea of sharing your story may seem lighthearted or even silly to some of you, but not only is the Bible the greatest story ever told, but each of our stories is vital to our very being. Price Reynolds, the author of A Palpable God, puts it this way: "A need to tell and hear stories is so essential to the species Homo sapiens, second in necessity, apparently, after nourishment and before love and shelter. Food first, like the fishes and loaves, then the story." And Price Reynolds knew firsthand that this is true, our need to hear and tell our stories. He kept writing even after becoming a paraplegic from a spinal surgery. He crafted the stories of the Old Testament and the New Testament by translating the Greek into a more literal English because he knew the power of simple narrative. He wanted to understand a more palpable God. For him, it was like seeing the stories for the first time, with the burden of interpretation placed directly on the reader, as is the case with the whole Bible and especially today's gospel story. Jesus was a storyteller. It was his main means of teaching. Today's gospel reading is one of the most famous, the prodigal son or daughter. Interestingly enough, this story comprises the second of five meditations presented on Curcio weekends. And last weekend, I had the honor of serving on the music team for Women's Curcio 130, the first weekend in this diocese since COVID hit 2 years ago. The team has been together for 2 years, unable to have a weekend. And guess what the theme is? "Be still and know that I am God." For 2 years, we were still. Okay. So, Curcio literally means short course. And the weekend is just that. It is a short but intense course in Christianity, comprised of 15 talks and 5 meditations with lots of music, lots of food, and lots of fellowship. It's held at Canterbury Episcopal Retreat Center in Oviedo, and it is a method for lay leaders being developed in the church. Today's gospel story, the prodigal son or daughter, is an integral part of the weekend. So not only have I been immersed in commentary on the story, and there is a lot But I got to sit back and meditate on it just last Saturday. It follows the first meditation, Know Yourself, where we are asked to look inward, to look honestly at ourselves, to become familiar with our stories. And in the meditation, the prodigal son, in our case, daughter, we consider who God is and where we personally see ourselves in God's story, and where we see God in our lives. So this morning, I invite you to do that very thing. As we consider the characters and their actions in this story, and you may be like me, you might see yourself in all three characters. So let's set the stage. Jesus has just been criticized by the Pharisees and the tax collector, the Pharisees and the scribes. These are the very pillars of the church, well, the Jewish faith at that time. And he was just criticized for associating with the tax collectors and sinners, those people. They openly complained that he had received sinners and even ate with them. And these were the good guys of the faith. Picture a group of bishops, priests, and dare I say deacons, all looking down their noses at this storyteller whom those people claimed was the Son of the Living God. Obviously, by his behavior, he was clearly a child of Satan. And the tax collectors and sinners were also listening as the story unfolds. So first, we meet the younger son. His whole attitude can best be understood by his first words. Father, gimme. He wants his inheritance. He wants it early. He wants to be on his own, in charge, handle things his way. He knows that his father is gracious, so he demands his inheritance, even though he actually receives less than his older brother. Have you ever been there, thinking you know best? You can do it better on your own in some distant country, far away from God. So this son seeks his own way, and he wanders into places where, well, they're empty, they're unfulfilling, and they're even distasteful. He loses all of his inheritance, and he clearly loses his faith. He became a swineherd, taking care of pigs, and God forbid, even longing to eat from their trough. To the audience of Jewish listeners, a swineherd was considered beyond the pale of God's forgiveness. There could be no reconciliation for such a person. And when the son hits rock bottom, he remembers that his father's servants live a better life than where he is, so he heads for home, and he crafts what he will say to his father. Is this contrition, or is this somewhat contrived? And then we hear the good news. His father welcomes him home. The kid doesn't even get the chance to speak his rehearsed words. This is good news for us too, because when we find ourselves wandering in a distant country without God, when we mess up, we do not have to fear our father's reaction. Instead of saying, oh man, I messed up, my daddy's gonna kill me, and then run away, we need to run straight for our good, good father and say, oh man, I messed up. I gotta tell daddy. When we feel desperate or hungry, when we feel empty in spite of the plenty that we have, let us run to our Father praying, oh Lord, help me not run away from my life or from you, because we, like this son, are lovingly welcomed home, no questions asked. Then we meet the father again. He has been daily watching and waiting for his younger son to come home. And when the lost son appears off in the distance, he runs, filled with compassion for him. wait for an explanation. He instead showers the son with love and affection. And he doesn't let his son squirm through an apology, silently enjoying his pain, which I must confess I have done. And he gives him the best robe, a sign that the son's restored to a place of honor, the robe of righteousness that covers a pigsty. The ring represents the authority and power of the family. Rings used to be used for official documents that you can seal, and he now possesses the official seal of the family, marked as Christ's own forever. And new shoes, showing that he wasn't a slave, just like our feet being shod with the gospel of peace, as found in Ephesians 6:15. The father had been slowly fattening the calf, knowing that someday his son would return home. The son was restored to sonship, just like we are restored as children of our Father God when we return to him. A note about the father running to meet his son. No Middle Eastern man would ever risk being shamed in this manner by running. It meant that you had to pick up your robes and expose your bare legs, an act reserved for dire emergencies or fighting. The Pharisees and the scribes would have thought this to be shameful behavior. Yet this father shamelessly lifts his robes and bares his legs and runs to meet the errant son who has come back. Then there's the older brother. And when Jesus gets to this part of the story, he directs it toward the Pharisees and the scribes. The son has been dutiful, slaving for his father the entire time that the younger son has been off carousing, living a life of sin. Somewhat of a Martha, he is resentful when he learns of the son's return, the father's lavish affection for him. And the party? He can't even go inside the house. He has disowned his brother. He's judgmental. He's jealous. After all, his younger brother certainly has not done anything to deserve this attention or this love. The older brother cannot step out of his own world, his own self-importance, to celebrate. For him, grace and favor were not the important thing. It was all about works and deserving what he has earned. I am so good. He expected a more honored place at the table. He too was lost. He was separated from his father by his attitude of grim service and self-importance. The works that we do should never be a substitute for joy at being close to the Father. And in spite of his bitterness, his resentment, his jealousy, the father declares his unbroken love and fellowship for the older brother, saying, "You are always with me, and everything I have is yours." Well, it doesn't take a genius to see that the parable is not just for really big sinners who do really terrible things. This story is meant to turn us on our heads. Why? Because in Christ, all things are made new. Take a look at the reading from 2 Corinthians again. We can no longer regard anyone from a human point of view. We, all of us, are a new creation because we have been reconciled through Christ. Our lives can only be part of the kingdom of God if we are willing to have our lives turned upside down, to be converted, to let Christ in. May we be open to the possibility that we sinners can be forgiven, that hate can be overcome by love, and that evil can be beaten by prayer and working for Christ. You know, this story could be retitled The Prodigal Father. Now, before you throw stones at me, the word prodigal nowhere appears in this story. And prodigal means rashly or wastefully extravagant, lavish or profuse, giving or given in abundance. And our Father is extravagantly lavish with his grace, his mercy, and his forgiveness. Do you find yourself in this parable? How will the discovery of yours affect your personal story? Your story, which is an essential part of our lives, right after nourishment, but before shelter and love. We don't know how this story ends, because Jesus ends it suddenly, and we don't know what the older brother decides to do. And we know that the Father's great joy is to welcome all of his children to his house and to celebrate for eternity. He leaves it up to each one of us to choose, how will this story go from here? So again, I ask you, what's your story? Please pray with me. O prodigal Father, lavish and giving in abundance, thank you for receiving us home to yourself with such joy and extravagant love. Fill our hearts with your spirit, your power, and your love, and give us the grace to live out our stories with and in you, now and forever. We ask this in the name of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So turning to page 358, let us stand and now repeat the articles of our faith in the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, the only being of the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and was made a man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people are four, found on page 388 in the Book of Common Prayer. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world.
mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others, and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation.
Father, we lift up Judy, Bart, Jeanette, Kat, Janine, Audrey, Richard, Justin, June, Dave, Nancy, Hank, Jim, Janet, Stephen M. Are there others?
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom.
Stephen.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Please join me in the prayer of transition found in your bulletin. O faithful God, we ask
you to guide us on our own transition. We need your wisdom that we might be receptive to change, conversion, and growth. We need your grace to redirect our hearts so that we may be willing to offer ourselves in joyful service. Do not allow fear, ignorance, or pride to limit the work of your Spirit. Amen.
Lord, we pray especially today for the people of Ukraine, and we pray that you would move among them and among the people of Russia as a spirit of peace, of goodwill, and we do pray for the cessation of hostilities. Lord, hear the prayers of your people, and what we ask in faith, may we attain in our lives for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Dear friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Sunday is often called Refreshment Sunday, and you're taking advantage of that by a warm greeting to one another, right? So we invite you to coffee after the service, and I'm assuming that we have Simnel cake. Don't we not? Simnel cake? Which, when I sprung that on the congregation in let's see, where was it? Ormond Beach. They said, "Well, Ernie, you can't spring that on us because it's like a fruitcake." And we have to be prepared at Christmas time to store up that stuff. And but at any rate, it is a time throughout the long season of Lent that the church says, okay, let's relax a little bit because we've got a long haul. And we're already preparing for a really wonderful Holy Week and Easter. I have to tell you that when the, quote, new prayer book, does anybody remember that, came out, people said to me, gosh, we've never experienced this before. And it's so rich and so full and so Christ-centered. So that's what we're going to experience here as well this year. So I guess we're not going to have simnel cake because I didn't see people rushing up to the window to start preparing it. Do we have first-time visitors this morning? Anybody first time?
Oh,
yes, ma'am. Where are you from?
I live here.
You live here? Well, thanks for finding your way to St. Peter the Fisherman. We welcome you. How about birthdays? Are you living to the center because it's your birthday?
Pardon?
Is it your birthday?
I am, tomorrow.
Really? Well, congratulations. I'm not going to ask you that question. Okay. So watch over this, your servant, O Lord, as her days increase. Bless and guide her wherever she may be. Comfort her when she stands, and comfort her if she falls, and sustain her in the times of good. And may your blessing always be upon her, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Congratulations. Somebody told me it was 45. Is that possible?
No.
Is it about that? Okay.
Times what?
Okay. How about wedding anniversaries? Nobody? I mean, who would get married, you know, at right after St. Patrick's Day? I mean, this wouldn't happen, right? Okay. Want to remind you that there's a deadline this Wednesday for the Daughters of the King Lenten Retreat. And the retreat is this Wednesday. I see it there. So let, if you haven't already reserved that spot,
Saturday.
It's Saturday.
Yeah.
So you have to let us know by Wednesday.
Oh, yes.
Got it. As you can see, the big red bus is outside, and I really urge you to consider possibly donating blood. They'll be there until 12:30. You're also going to find a sign-up sheet for the Maundy Thursday watch. And we're starting a little bit early so that you can think about it and then sign up for an hour to do that. Remembering Jesus saying, could you not watch with me 1 hour? So there's more information in the bulletin. Commend that to you. And I want to thank Jeanette for that stirring sermon on the prodigal son, actually, and as I shared with her, if I hadn't realized that's when she was going to preach, I would have said, no, let me do that one, because it's one of my favorite stories, but you did us proud, and I appreciate that. So that story is just so chock full of stuff, and many, many things to think of, and there's no way that you could exhaust that one. It's the third of a trilogy. Starting with the lost what? Shepherd, the lost coin, the lost boy, the lost two boys, even the lost three. So anyhow, thank you for that. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
Thank you.